Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly trivia podcast hosted by yours truly, Quizmaster Lee, and I'm here with the man of the hour, little sweet, little sour, Mark Davis.
What's up, baby?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well as well.
Well.
Well as well.
Well.
Double well.
Well.
Yeah. So we're just going to do this trivia podcast like we do every week.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You and me again.
Yep.
Just a couple of...
Back together again.
We're
back together again. And we got some miscorrections to take care of. Miscorrections. Do we want to do all the themes right now? Read my questions now. Let's just handle the miscorrections first. Just a couple catching up, cleaning up from our last episode. You know, sometimes we're spouting off at the mouth like I was during Mark's question about Moses Fleetwood Walker, the first African-American baseball player. I had some other guesses ahead of time. Mark, what did you dig up and what did you hear from our listeners?
Well, one of our proverbial light keepers, Mike, reached out. Our first guest reached out to let us know that the first African-American to hold office was in 1870. We were saying you and Kyle were kind of going back and forth that it may have not been it may have been a little too early, but there was actually someone voted in earlier than that.
Hiram Revels, his name, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
And then also airplanes were not invented yet.
Oops.
Airplanes were invented in 1903 is when the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk first had their initial flight. First in flight, North Carolina.
Good to know. Important details.
Yeah.
Set my mind timeline right in my mind palace dark place. Was Mike our first guest?
Was he?
I think it was Seth.
Oh, maybe it was Seth.
Episode 7.
You're right.
And then Mike guested on episode number 11, Mike Breaks the Internet.
Yeah.
I believe.
You're correct. We'll get that miscorrection.
So how was your week of trivia?
My week in trivia was good. We had a pretty packed house. We've been doing it. You know, it's funny because as late as 9 o'clock is, I'm always told 9 o'clock is, you know, late for a weeknight, which it is, in all fairness.
Yeah. You run one of those late night games, though. It's like perfect for the time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
When people have such, you know, I had a team called Pussy Farts this week. So it's hard to do that at 6:30.
Yeah.
With like
at a bar / restaurant.
Right. Where people are bringing their 3-year-olds and they're staring at me. And I'm like, Pussy Farts has 42 points.
Sorry, kid. Got to say it. It's
Mommy,
their name.
What's Pussy Farts? It's like, oh, boy.
It's a queef, darling.
But yeah, it was good. We had a nice, large group. We had a team come away with the high score of 61 points. TM will steal your organs. Now this is a team with Tom Sparks and his sister. And as a matter of fact, it's funny because I was going to talk to you about it. They had a team of like 9 people. And I didn't have the heart to break them up because they had come.
Oh, Mark.
I know.
Wow.
And it's funny because some of them are
teachers. People on their phones and have 9-man teams.
It's basically
teams.
Like Mad Max, yeah. So I sense some frustration with some teams. So if they come next week, I'm going to have to break them up into smaller teams. But the thing is I love a story where there's a team that big. And we talked about this a long time ago. But sometimes with teams that big, there's so much infighting that it works against itself. And I mean, to be honest, like there were teams in the later rounds that were catching up to him that, you know, almost won. So even though they had that many people, I think there was a team with like 50 points. There was a team, you know, so, and they didn't get the last question right. It was a pretty hard last question.
Yeah. I think the exponential power of all the brains, even despite the infighting, I mean, you imagine like some smaller country being like, yeah, let that country get large. They'll be infighting. You saw what happened during the Civil War.
Well, they had an atrocious last round and that's what was funny. Their first and second round, they only missed one question. The third round, they only got one question.
Wow.
So,
highest highs and lowest lows.
And there were other teams that only missed 1-2 questions in the last round. So it's doable. You know what I mean? It's just they got the first two rounds. They did so well with the last round, even though they didn't even get the last question right. They only wagered 1 point. They were smart. If they had wagered 20, they would have lost for sure. So,
well, if you want to bring an entire U.S. soccer team in terms of players to trivia, go to Mark's Trivia, Nice Guys. But if you want to play fairly with a 7-player maximum, you can come check out my trivia. Here's what happened over the last week at the No Nonsense Trivia Challenges. On June 13th at number 3, Redacted won with 89 points, beating out 6 other teams. Then we had our first trivia night at Gather on June 18th, hosted by Kyle Ann. Beer Me Heather was the name of the team, a team of all dudes conquering the Ladies Night Trivia.
Wow.
Including our friend Drew, formerly of Three Pepper.
Fantastic.
He was serving beer over there. He was just having a little nice relaxing night out with the bros, cracking a few open.
Beautiful.
With the bros.
Oat sodas.
Yep. They beat 12 other teams with 55 points.
Wow.
Then we have at Bury Me Brewing Company on June 19th at Dr. Tran Doles Out the Harshness, winning with 96 points, beating 11 other teams. And on June 20th at number 3, Bavik Boys and Girls Club of America, our sponsors, won the Bavik Brewery. They were in the house giving out some extra t-shirts and prizes and stuff.
People loving that Bavik. Mm-hmm.
Triple digit score, first in a while, 103 points to them.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's Dan, our chicken wing champion, resident.
Ah, Dan Klutz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah, his team. So, yeah, had some people out to play some trivia. It was nice. If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia live this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. Number 3, where we're at, doing trivia every Thursday. We'll be there on June 27th at 7:30 p.m. at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar. The Meat Cottage will be joining us once again. The final category that night will be Monroe, North Carolina, which was selected by the Clueless Idiots. And yes, I have a question ready at the go for Monroe, North Carolina as the category. Going backwards in time, on Wednesday night, previous, you can see Mark Davis at Nice Guys Pizza. That starts at 9 p.m. He's doing trivia up there, 3 rounds. You can win some fabulous prizes there. And going back even further in time, earlier that night on June 26th, we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company at 7 p.m., joined once again by the Meat Cottage in the past, in the future, for all eternity. The no-nonsense question that night will be famous landmarks, which was selected by Team RC. And then going back even further in time to June 25th on Tuesday, we'll be back at Gather in Cape Coral for Ladies Night Trivia, hosted by the lovely Kyle Ann. That starts at 7 p.m., moving it back an hour, 7 to 9. Come check out a wide range of delicacies and delights and food and drink while enjoying a little no-nonsense trivia. That is our calendar in reverse this time.
Nice.
Started on the Thursday, went back to the Tuesday.
Hey, and why not?
You can find more information about these events and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the no-nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us, won't you?
It got good. There was a moment there.
First there was a mountain, and then there was no mountain.
Then there was a molehill.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with some trivia in round one. We're back in round number one. Ready for some trivia. Mark, you got one ready for me? Oh, I'm hungry.
Do I ever.
For some trivia.
Let me feed you, Daddy. Question number one. Mm-hmm. What Asian island country was known from the beginning of British colonial rule as Ceylon? That's Ceylon. What Asian island country was known from the beginning of British colonial rule as Ceylon?
Asian island country.
Yes.
British colonial rule.
Mm-hmm.
An Asian country.
Yep.
That the Brits got to first. I don't think it's the Philippines. I think that was the French colonized the Philippines. I think. I don't think it's Japan. I don't think, I mean, Japan was not colonized, I don't think, really. So definitely not that. But it does say the days of British colonial rule, but I think that means that you're implying that the British colonized this country at one point. I'm going to go with Guam.
The correct answer is Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Oh, okay.
Sri Lanka. Yep. Hmm.
Okay. That, yes, that makes more sense. It's closer to India, I guess.
Sure.
Than in the Pacific Islands.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Guam's a little further out. Yeah.
I need to look it up.
It might even be closer to our continent. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Guam is the westernmost point and territory of the United States.
Right. I thought maybe we took it over from the Brits. Islands. But Sri Lanka is close to India where the British Imperial Army, you know, reached. Sorry, my dog. I gave my dog a bone right before we started recording. So now I'm like, why are you being so loud?
Why are you going to drop that bone around?
Yeah. Mark, I have a question about the hit sitcom Seinfeld.
Give me a bass guitar.
Ding, 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 ding.
Did you ever see the video of the guy who wrote that bass thing?
I've seen an interview with him.
Yeah, there was on, like, Inside Edition or something.
Oh, I don't know.
I'll have to find it and send it to you. It's pretty hilarious. Yeah.
We'll post in the show notes. We'll watch it and then post it in the show notes. On Seinfeld, what is the name of the lawyer that defends Jerry and the gang in the criminal trial during the series finale?
Oh, I have no idea.
Do you remember the character?
No.
No?
And I actually did see the ending. I never got into Seinfeld a lot when it was on. I didn't really watch much TV when it was on, to be honest.
Maybe it can jog your memory a little bit. This is basically an impersonation of Johnny Cochran that this actor is doing. Does that recall? No?
No. Jimmy Cage Man.
You're barking up the right tree. Mm-hmm. It is a JC name, but it's not Jimmy Cage Man. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Jimmy Cage Man? That's the new Mortal Kombat fighter. Jimmy Cage Man. Johnny Cage.
I just bought an Xbox One.
You did? Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Mark?
So my assistant manager was like going to trade in for an Xbox One S or whatever. And I was like, how much are they giving you for your Xbox to trade it in? Because it was GameStop. Mm. And she's like, $100. It's like, if I give you $100, can I just buy it off you? She's like, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I mostly want it for Mortal Kombat, because what better therapy than cracking someone's skull over your fucking knee?
You always buy a new system motivated by Mortal Kombat.
I know.
New Mortal Kombat game comes out for a system that you don't have.
And you know that because you have my PS4.
Which you bought for Mortal Kombat. Well, yeah.
I didn't buy it for Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. I bought that before Mortal Kombat came out.
Okay. But you knew it was coming down the pipe. I had it.
There's always a new one. But this one you can play as all kinds of crazy characters. You can play Shang Tsung, which... You know, he hasn't been in one forever.
The original villain of the first Mortal Kombat game.
The guy who put the whole thing together.
Some trivia on it. Yeah. All right. Well, back to the question here, which you clearly don't care about.
Yeah.
You're more interested in the Xbox One S series, Seinfeld series. Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, Jason Cockroach.
Nope. His name is Jackie Chiles is the character's name. Jackie Chiles. Played by actor Phil Morris, imitating O.J. Simpson defense lawyer Johnny Cochran. Do you remember the crime that they're charged for? That was my original question that I was going to ask you, is what crime were they charged for? You got to go back and watch this episode, man. It's so good.
That's, you know, it's funny because I remember everybody hating it.
Yeah.
And I did watch it. It was for something, because I remember they call up like the soup Nazi and they call up all these people that had been in the, was it for like being... not funny
for being something? Assholes basically
for being assholes. Okay.
That's that, but yeah, they break a good Samaritan law because they're in a small town and they witness a armed carjacking, and the guy that the victim calls out to them for help and they just laugh at him basically, and the police arrest them and say you should have like intervened, you know, and they're facing like 5 years in jail basically over this. And the prosecution brings in all of these character witnesses, which are characters from the past that they've, you know, infringed upon. And they get sent to jail. So it's kind of like a perfect ending, even though it's like not a hilarious episode in and of itself. But Jackie Chiles, Phil Morris, like, it's just hilarious performance. Like, his defense is like, hey, they're innocent bystanders. Bystanders, by their definition, are innocent. You know, that's what it means to be a bystander.
Right.
Which is a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
You know, and he used a lot of alliteration, which goes with like kind of the rhyming thing that Johnny Cochran did. Like,
if the glove doesn't fit, yeah, you must acquit.
He would say like, I'm shocked and chagrined. Shocked and chagrined, I tell you. The real perpetrator is lying and laughing, laughing and lying. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a perfect ending for It's Always Sunny to end the same exact way? Because if you think that the people in Seinfeld are assholes, just wait until you meet these people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the perfect successor, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here is your second question. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, mm-hmm. Zacharias and Elizabeth were the parents of whom?
Zacharias and Elizabeth?
Yes.
Were the parents of whom in the Bible?
Yes.
Hmm.
How long has it been since you've been to Bible study?
I don't know if I've ever been. Right now, I'm like trying to channel Seth, our first guest.
I wonder if he knows.
Who's, you know, named. He's got to know. He's got a biblical name, Seth.
He does. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, mm-hmm. all of his brothers.
Zacharias and Elizabeth, I'm going to guess. I don't believe it's Cain and Abel's parents. That would be Adam and Eve, right?
That's correct.
Not that that's the question or anything. I'm going to go with Noah. I'm going to say that's Noah's parents.
The correct answer is John the Baptist.
I don't even know who that is. Okay. I do not know this man. I'm assuming he's a Baptist, the first Baptist.
Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Mm-hmm. Gregory.
John.
Alexandria.
I don't know if I remember them all. It's been so long since I retired my Ray.
Famously retired.
Famously, you know? Retired.
Yeah. It's Matthew, Gregory, Alexandria.
Jonathan and Alexandra.
Jonathan?
I think so, yeah.
We better double check that. We're slipping in our old age here.
Yeah, we'll have to miss correction or something.
John the Baptist. What do you know about him?
Nothing.
Okay, well, this isn't in a church hour anyway, so we're going to move on to Lobster Anatomy. That's my category.
Ooh,
Lobster, what do you know anatomy. About lobster? We're going to find out what you know.
Oh, not much.
What is the anatomical term for the tiny legs that are on the abdomen of lobsters and other crustaceans? You know, the little legs.
Yeah, oh yeah. The ones that no one eats.
Mm-hmm. What is the term for those?
Anatomical term.
Yeah, and I'll take either the scientific term or the... There's a colloquial term as well, a term that people are more likely to use than the scientific version. So two potential answers here.
Born in Maine, you know,
mm-hmm.
parents loved lobster.
How do you feel about it?
I don't like it. I don't like any seafood.
Mm. You don't Nothing like the taste of the sea.
I really don't. That's that briny how I feel. Taste. That's really how I feel. Like when I eat stuff out of the ocean, I feel like I can taste the seawater. Geez, I have no idea. I'm going to make something up. Two for two here. I'm going to say the,
what if I told you that they have a cute name?
It does not surprise me. Because they're such cute little legs. I'm going to say the spindles.
You're channeling the right first letter. It does start with an S. Swimmerettes. Swimmerettes.
Swimmerettes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What a great name for a band.
The Swimmerettes, yeah.
Like Lobster Claw and the Swimmerettes.
Ooh, that's good. Like that, that's, you know? Good. King You're Claw like and the Swimmerettes.
Oh, yep. King Claw. That's
yep.
it.
Yep.
Jesus, we need to make this a thing.
Yeah, let's start a lounge band, and that's our lounge band.
Do all Jimmy Buffett songs lounge mm-hmm. style.
That's, I mean, is Jimmy Buffett already kind you of could, lounge music?
Oh, that's I not too say he's loungy. Well,
some of it
could do something.
Anyways, we'll talk. Yeah. Pleopods is the scientific name for those, but they're more commonly called swimmerettes. They're used for grabbing food, steering, brooding eggs, so they'll just like basically cuddle the eggs with those little swimmerettes when they're sitting on top of them. And sometimes the swimmerettes even have their own gills, which I think is pretty interesting. Like, where are we going to put these nostrils? Let's put them on the feet. It's where they go on the sides of the legs.
God, pretty was crazy. A weirdo.
Yep.
Is it my turn for?
Yes.
That was so abrupt.
You're gonna put these, yes, it's your turn. Put
these, quiet. All right. Here is your last question of the first round.
Uh-huh.
The term Dog Days of Summer is a reference to which star in constellation Canis Major?
The dog star. Keanu Reeves. Who plays bass, right?
In Dog
Star. Is that what you're asking? Oh, wait. I'm back in the last episode. Episode 50. Okay.
Get to the
dog star. You're asking what star that is?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it the North Star? The North Star.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's incorrect. The correct answer is Sirius.
Oh, okay.
Sirius. Yes.
Gotcha. I feel like I knew that at one point, but
I didn't even remember. A couple people put North Star and I had to look up what it was called. I couldn't remember. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
That's how with it I am.
The dog star, Sirius, which is not the North Star. What's the North Star again?
That's what I'm going to have to look it up because I remember looking and I remember being like, oh, Polaris.
The North Star is Polaris.
Yeah. Polaris. But that's the brightest star in the constellation Ursa Minor. But gotcha. Canis Major, that big dog, if you will. It is. It's Chaboy.
Sirius. Yep. Now that just reminds me of Harry Potter, the Harry Potter character. Sirius so Black. That's the subtle charm of pop culture is that it takes all the place of like actual facts in your head.
Yeah. He's like, well, Sirius can't be right because I'm just thinking of Sirius Black. That's what always happens with me.
Like, sometimes I think about I know more about Game of Thrones history than actual history. And then I just like shake my head and put on the next Avengers movie.
Perfect.
2000s era hip hop. It's the next category for you.
Oh, perfect. Now, yeah. This is the stuff I have in my head generally. So hopefully I don't fuck this up.
Yeah. Now this one. Well, I'm just going to ask it to you.
Okay. Give it to me.
It's about the rapper Nelly. How good's your Nelly triv?
We'll see.
All right. What is the name?
Good gracious asses bodacious.
What was the name of rapper Nelly's debut album, which was also the title of his debut single?
I think I know this. I might come out of this first round with a win.
All right.
I think. Down, down, baby. No. Was that him? I think it's Country Grammar.
That's correct. It is.
Cornell, at least I have hip hop.
Cornell Erol Haynes Jr.
Ooh.
Rapper, singer, songwriter, entrepreneur,
dancer,
investor, actor.
Band-Aid spokesman.
Do you know what movie he was in?
No.
As an actor? Adam Sandler movie?
Adam Sandler movie? Yeah. No.
No?
Click?
Mm-mm. One more hint. Burt Reynolds? Remake of an earlier Burt Reynolds movie.
What the fuck is it called? The Longest Yard?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Bonus point. Oof. Bonus point for that.
I'll take that.
Nice. Yes. The song is called Country Grammar. Parenthetical title. Hot shit. Just in case you were curious. Well, what kind of shit is Country Grammar? It's the hot shit. In parentheses. Just labeled there. So good job, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. How about a third for me?
A third for you. Wait. A
third for me.
Didn't I just give you a third?
Did you?
Yeah, that was serious.
Oh, 3-3.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Because I started this round.
That's right. And I'll be starting the next round, which we will start.
You're pointing right soon. At me.
Yes.
No one can see it, but you're giving me a stern talking to.
You're going to get some trivia very soon, Mark.
Beautiful. I can't wait.
Okay, we're back. Before we get into the rate my question, just want to give a big thank you to our new proverbial. No,
a huge thank you.
Yeah.
Not big.
Big is huge, but I mean, you know, huge is big. It's not small. Huge is not small.
But
so
it's
I'm saying
bigger
big.
Than big, I think.
Huge is bigger than big?
I think so. You don't?
When I think of big and small, it's binary. You're either bigger or you're smaller. You know, big could be so massive, big is, gigantic. It's big.
But massive and gigantic are two different sizes.
Yeah, but big is both. They're both big.
Okay, I would say...
It's kind of like how a square is a rectangle, you see? Big, or like a hot dog is a sandwich.
Big, huge, gigantic, massive.
So big is small in your mind.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. Big is not small, Mark.
I mean, you have large, and then you have extra large. It's like, well, I thought large was as big as it gets.
I see all of these.
Until extra large came along.
I see all of these in the bigosphere.
They're
all
crazy
big.
How our brains work.
Yeah.
This is why having teams in trivia is so important.
Yeah. At some base
because
level.
Because you have those, like, you know, you have those that, those two different thought processes.
Yeah.
These processes. Mm-hmm. That are working together and churning out hopefully right answers.
It is our differences that help us build an understanding of each other and of the world.
You should put some really beautiful music behind that. All right. So
we want to give a big massive, and huge, massive, gigantic thank you to our new Patreon supporters, Cooper, our new proverbial lightkeeper, and Eric, our new Rumpelstiltskin. Thank you, buddies.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We appreciate that. We have a rate my question to take care of from Eric here.
Rate my question. You're doing all of them with me.
I'm with you on this one.
Yeah.
This is our, like I said, we're a team now. Even though we're asking each other the questions, I feel
we're still together.
Yeah, I feel it. Who is the only person to have two U.S. state capitals named after them? That's what Eric has submitted for a rate my question. Who is the only person to have two U.S. state capitals named after them?
What a great fucking question.
Yeah, perhaps inspired by our state capital question.
That's
last,
what I was thinking.
Last one, got the mind going on that. Now, Eric did include the answer on this, so I'm going to have to, you know, step
bow
aside
out
for this because I did see the answer. If you send in a rate my question, you can feel free to exclude the answer for us both to try and answer together, or you can put a lot of spaces. Usually when I open the email, though, what I glance at, I see, and I just got to be honest here.
Right.
You know, I saw these answers.
So you're not allowed to suss with me. I'm all alone.
No, and I'm so glad because Kyle I probably Ann. Would not have gotten this.
Does Kyle know?
She is our resident capitals expert.
Does she know the answer?
No.
Kyle, I need to borrow you for a minute. I need a sussing partner.
I'm going down a trivia rabbit hole.
All right.
Here's the question one more time.
All right.
Who is the only person to have two U.S. state capitals named after them?
Person to have two? Oh, yeah, because I'm pretty good at state capitals.
Yeah, I know that you were killing it last. So, and I didn't even really started to think about this, but so person. State capitals. There's a lot of them that I think automatically there's...
Well, Jefferson City, Missouri. That's Thomas Jefferson, maybe. Is there another state capital that maybe has to do with your boy? Your boy
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Thomas. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Cheyenne, Wyoming.
There's... I think there's like a Columbus... Like Columbus, Ohio, and then Columbia.
Ooh. Is Columbus, Ohio the capital, though?
Yeah, it's capital.
Really?
Uh-huh. Columbus, Ohio.
Out of a place with so many fucking cities, a lot of sea cities.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's like a Columbus, Ohio, and like a Columbia somewhere else.
Columbia, South Carolina?
That might be right, actually. No, because I don't think it's Charleston, South Carolina. So I think it is, yeah.
Austin, Texas. Austin would be named after, I think Austin's named after someone who like founded the city or something.
Good for you, Austin.
I don't think
Mr.
so.
Mr. Austin.
Didn't we see a bunch of names. Like there was the person who founded Austin is named something, and there's like a lot of restaurants and stuff named after him.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
Nope, actually, Stephen F. Austin, known as the father of Texas.
The father of Texas. Father Texas.
Yep.
Good old Father Texas.
Father Texas.
So you're right about that.
He has a Stetson hat and a lasso.
He's got boots that jangle when he walks.
Boots that jangle. Yep.
Yeah, I think for the sake of brevity, we just need to go. We're going to go with Christopher Columbus.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Columbia, South Carolina, and Columbus, Ohio.
That's what's up. Yeah. You know you needed me.
Thank you very much for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. And be sure to go see Kyle Ann at Gather Trivia on Tuesday, June 25th.
Yep.
Seven to nine.
Good times.
Yep. Eric continues. Love the show. You guys are great.
That's a good way to start.
Thank you, Eric. And hope you're enjoying some of that bonus content on our Patreon. If you want to subscribe or support us on Patreon, you'll get access to that bonus content. We just put up an extended sus clip of us sussing out the Jessica Jones question that Kylie and asked us in episode 50. Sometimes, to keep the episodes a reasonable length, we try not to have questions that take 10 minutes in and of themselves, but there's tons of extra information about the comic series Jessica Jones in that conversation. You can go to our Patreon and check that out.
Hear us just hate ourselves.
Yeah. All right, let's get into round two. I'm going to kick this off.
Please.
The question is Hollywood inventors.
Okay.
This was a question that we asked at Gather Trivia with Kyle Ann. Kyle wrote this. What classic actress known for starring in movies such as Samson and Delilah and Ecstasy invented communications technology that led to the development of Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS?
I'm just so bad. I mean, if not evidenced by the question about 12 Angry Men from last week, yeah. I'm terrible with old actors and actresses' names.
But don't you think that this one is one worth knowing? Absolutely. Due to the fact that they are a co-inventor of Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS, yeah, as well as being an actress. I mean, that's like, what a diverse range of skills.
It's amazing.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I'll say Bergman.
Ingmar Bergman, the director.
No, there's a female Bergman too.
A female Bergman.
Yeah,
a Bergwoman.
It always confused me when I was younger, because I knew Bergman as being a director, but
I think you introduced me to the Seventh Seal.
Ingrid
Bergman. Not Ingmar.
Yeah,
that's a made up name.
There's Ingmar Bergman,
Ingmar,
and Ingrid Bergman.
They got the same fucking sound at the beginning of their names.
Yeah. It's very, very confusing.
You can't even spoonerify them. you end up with the same
other name.
No, yeah. Bergman is not the answer. It is Hedy Lamarr. Hedy Lamarr.
I've heard that name before.
Yes. It's detailed in a documentary on her life called Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story. The film chronicles the patent that Lamarr filed for frequency hopping technology in 1941 that became a precursor to Wi-Fi, GPS, and Bluetooth. She co-patented the idea with George Antheil, and she was inspired to help out to protect Allied radio frequencies from the Nazis. And so she never profited from the idea commercially. It was just a matter of duty to her country, America. Mm-hmm.
All right, you ready for your next question?
Yes.
Speaking of 12 Angry Men, name three actors in the 1997 remake of 12 Angry Men.
All right.
Did you look this up?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
But I have a little advantage because if this is your first episode, the last episode I asked Mark and Kyle to name three actors from the original Sidney Lumet film.
Indeed.
And now the tables have turned. I know from that episode that Tony Danza is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't really remember this. I think I might have watched this once in school You know, 12 Angry Men is one of those movies that they make you watch in school like five times anytime there's a substitute, or at least they used to. And then one of those substitutes might have slipped in the remake here. What year did you say?
1997.
97. I'm going to say Jack Lemmon was in this one. Jack Lemmon is going to be another one of mine.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is funny because both Kyle and I thought he was in the original.
Right.
He was actually in the remake.
Boy, wouldn't that have been something. You know? Was there any crossover?
Ooh. There may have been.
Ooh. Maybe there was. Or maybe, wouldn't it be poetic if Ed Begley Jr. was in the remake, reprising his father's role? That's going to be my third guess.
That's incorrect. I'll give you one more.
What's the name of the guy that was on Inside Edition? I could see him playing the guy with the glasses. I'm going to go with another actor famous at the time. I don't know why, but maybe Dean Cain.
It's incorrect. Courtney B. Vance, the foreman. Juror 2, Ossie Davis. Juror 3, George C. Scott. This is a star-studded cast.
George C. So you guys mentioned him too, but he was in the remake.
Juror 4, Armin Mueller Stahl. Juror number 5, Dorian Harewood, who I didn't know by name, but I definitely know by picture. Juror number 6, James Gandolfini.
Nice.
Juror number 7, Tony Danza. Juror number 8, Jack Lemmon. Juror number 9, Hume Cronin. Juror number 10, Mike Kelty Williamson. Juror number 11, Edward James Olmos. And juror number 12, William Peterson.
Well, I'm going to be checking that one out.
It's good.
Sounds like a good cast.
It really is.
And especially going back to back on the original, be interesting to see them. Very good.
Thanks.
Cool. My second question for you is a fast food question. What Miami, Florida fast food chain can open its doors anywhere except in Mattoon, Illinois, where a family-owned restaurant of the same name has exclusive rights?
Miami-based
fast food chain.
Fast food chain.
Can open its doors anywhere except in a 20-mile radius around another restaurant in Mattoon, Illinois that's family-owned, operating under the same name.
Fast food chains. All right, well, what is a Miami-seeming fast food place? Well, it's not McDonald's. I don't think it's Burger King. I'm trying to think of a name of like a place that would have a name that another restaurant might have. Wendy's, Burger King. You know, I remember seeing, maybe it is Burger King, because I think I remember seeing a picture of a place called Burger King, but it was obviously not Burger King. And I could hem and haw for a while and think, but there's some stuff like PDQ, which I don't think another place would have a place called PDQ. It's got to be something kind of like obvious or like popular. Like Wendy's. I have a feeling Wendy's didn't start in Miami. I'm going to go with Burger King.
That's right, Mark. It is Burger King. Yes.
Yep. I didn't know Burger King was based out of Miami.
Yep. The first one was in Jacksonville. I believe it was called Insta Burger King. And then they opened up another location in Miami that they just simply titled Burger King. And that's where it all started.
Huh?
Yep. Yes, and the Burger King in Mattoon, Illinois is owned by a family named the Hootses.
Uh-huh.
And the Hootses sued Burger King in state court, Illinois state court, over the name. And the Florida Burger King company countersued in federal court, which led to a decision known as the Landham Act. Or so the decision was the basis for the Landham Act. And Burger King may not operate within the 20-mile radius of the Hootses restaurant, and the Hootses may not operate a Burger King outside of that area. So they're limited to just that 20-mile radius themselves. And according to the Hootses, the Florida Burger King chain offered them $10,000 in order to operate one of their stores within the radius, which they declined.
Wow.
So it's got to be, they got to be doing a little bit better than 10K.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm sure it's also a huge, you know, like kind of touristy place.
Yeah. But then there's like probably three McDonald's around you. Yeah. Right. God damn it.
All right. Here is your question.
Mm-hmm.
What Ivy League school is located in Hanover, New Hampshire?
New Hampshire?
Hanover, okay. New Hampshire.
So, Harvard is in Boston. Cornell is in Ithaca, which I know thanks to this podcast.
I thought you were going to say because of the hit television series The Office.
Notre Dame. Where are they? Shit. Could be them. Because I don't know where they are otherwise. Purdue. Yale. Those are the three that I can quickly draw upon here. New Hampshire. What city did you say again?
The city I said was Hanover, New Hampshire.
Hanover.
Do you know how many Ivy League schools there are?
No, I don't know.
I didn't either. I just looked it up. It's very interesting.
Please say less than 10. There's more than 10, aren't there? It's probably like 300.
There's eight.
Oh, eight. Okay. So I am missing a couple then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've got no one to suss with. I'm self-sussing here.
It's hard.
It's hard to self-suss. It's hard to self-suss. New Hampshire. I'll go with Purdue.
The correct answer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Wait.
Okay.
No. Georgetown University just came into my head, but I don't know why. I feel like they're in... Is that in Washington, D.C.? George Washington Town? Georgetown? I'll go with Purdue. I'm sticking with it.
So the correct answer is...
Mm-hmm.
Dartmouth.
Dartmouth! Shit.
So there are eight Ivy League schools. Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, the University of Pennsylvania, Princeton, and Yale.
Purdue's not one of them.
No.
What is Purdue?
Purdue's just a regular university.
So in Indiana.
What's kind of interesting, which is also where Notre Dame is, if I remember correctly,
mm-hmm.
Which is also not an Ivy League school. So interesting, because I looked up why they call it an Ivy League school. I guess I always just thought like Ivy growing on the, you know, because they're fancy schmancy or whatever. But apparently the theory is that the Ivy League actually was IV for four.
Oh, okay.
Because the four original schools were Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Dartmouth.
Oh, I thought it was like you get a fourth meal, like
yeah, on the Taco meal Bell plan. University. Yeah. You get some of those crunchy cinnamon twists and a ultra big griller or whatever the fuck.
Well, I've got a question for you that's probably a little bit more my speed. Okay. Pornography is the category.
Okay.
What singular word was the top search term on Pornhub in 2018?
Well, I'm really glad that you didn't ask me to name an actress so I had to play dumb like I didn't know any names. I don't know who you're talking about.
This question made a lot of my players very uncomfortable, but I was like, look, this is the top search term. So theoretically, it's going to be the more popular answer that you guys come up with together.
So, yeah, this is also an uncomfortable question. And I know that there have been a lot of memes based on this. So I'm inclined to say it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It could be.
There's many terms, many search terms. We've all seen them in the tag cloud. I don't remember Pornhub has a tag cloud, but many tags. One of these tags is a search term, the most popular.
I'm going to say, see, fuck. I feel so weird saying this. I am totally not into this stuff at all. But I'm going to say stepmom.
Okay.
Because I know that there seems to be this growing trend in, like, my stepmom caught me jerking off and she helped me out or whatever.
I mean, from a psychological aspect, I think that that's just evident of the amount of teenage boys that are probably on the website pushing those numbers up, because it's like, yeah, that's a grown woman that I can imagine.
The thing is, I think,
let's talk about sex through the fantasy.
Shall we?
You and me. Let's talk about sex, baby.
About all the good things and the bad things that may be. I feel like a lot of it is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the big thing with anal for a long time, was that people were like, so many women won't let you do it. So to be able to do it is to, like, do this thing that no one will let you do. But as it became more and more normal, and now people are like, you eat someone's ass out the first day you date them or whatever, it's like, oh, well, anal's not really anything. Like, stepmom is someone I'm not related to, and it's very, very taboo. It's like, definitely shouldn't be done.
Yeah.
But I'm not related to her. There's no, like, blood relation or whatever. So, like, I think that's kind of like the new fantasy for people, is this thing that, like, is hard to triumph, or, you know, hard to, like, get or whatever. I'm using air quotes, because
it's literally like a tale as old as time, though. It's the Oedipus story,
right, again, right.
You know, it's just the safe version, but that is, like, very overt. Well, the son replacing the father.
I feel like this is different. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's more the taboo than it is the,
the
first love is your mom.
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, I'll just say the correct answer, you're close, okay, is MILF. MILF
that in general. That was going to be my other guess.
Yeah, so it is MILF. It is mom related.
Maybe stepmom will be 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. And then whatever. I had some people that just wrote down step.
Okay, yeah.
As a prefix. Well,
step, stepson, step whatever. Stepmom, stepdad.
Yeah. Every year, Pornhub puts out their statistics list. Very entertaining place to source trivia from as a quizmaster, because nothing will make your team squirm like asking them to talk about sex with each other.
Do you want one that I think you're going to get?
Yes.
Who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Ooh.
I thought you were going to get this.
I don't think it's James Baldwin. I think it's earlier than James Baldwin.
James Baldwin did, is he the one who did Invisible Man? Ralph Ellison did Invisible Man.
Okay.
Well, that's fucking weird.
Can I get a hint?
Yeah, it's a woman.
Oh, shit. Uncle Tom's Cabin, written by, Alice Walker.
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Harriet Beecher Stowe.
Harriet Beecher Stowe. I didn't know
Uncle
that.
Tom's Cabin. Really?
Yeah.
That really surprises me for some reason. I thought you were going to fucking fly right through it.
Nope. You just patched a hole in my Harriet Beecher Stowe. Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yes,
sir. Patched a hole in my trivia roof.
Well, good. I'm glad to help.
All right. I think that wraps up our second round.
I believe so.
And we'll be back in just a few minutes, a few moments,
with final questions.
Back, ready for our final questions for each other. Mark, it's been quite the episode.
Parting is such sweet, sweet. parting is such sweet sorrow.
Partying is such sweet sorrow. Parting. That's from, what's yours from?
Parting is such sweet sorrow is from some Shakespeare.
Yeah. Partying, is that from Wayne's World?
Partying or is such sweet sorrow.
Or is that from Bill and Ted?
It sounds like Bill and Ted, and it would definitely go along with, you know, with them being all, dude.
Yeah.
Romeo and Juliet is where Partying is Such Sweet Sorrow comes from.
Okay.
And Partying is Such Sweet Sorrow is a song from Every Time I Die.
Yeah, but where did they get that from? They didn't make that up.
How do you know?
It is a season 3 episode title of The Angry Beavers.
Whatever that is.
It's a cartoon.
Okay.
When did the Every Time I Die song come out?
You're asking some... You're asking the hard-hitting questions. 2012.
So they named themselves after an Angry Beavers episode, basically.
Well, it's more than possible. It's possible that more than one person came up with that.
I want to say, and I have no idea if this is true or not, but in my head, it's what evil Bill and Ted say to Bill and Ted in Bill and Ted 2. Like they like kick him down into a hole or something like that, and they go, "What can we say, bros? Partying is such sweet sorrow." Because isn't there an evil Bill and Ted? It's been so long since I've seen this.
Yeah, the robots.
Yep. That's right.
You know, what's funny is that one of my questions at trivia last week was, in what year did Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey come out? That was a question I asked this past Wednesday.
Can I, do you remember the answer?
I do.
Is it 93?
No.
92?
Nope.
94?
No.
91?
Yep.
The second one came out in 91?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
And I don't know if you saw, but the guy who plays NoHo Hank and Barry is going to be in the new Bill and Ted. Have you seen Barry?
No.
You are fucking up, bud.
I wish I had time, man. I just...
you need to make time. Dude, it's so fucking good.
I just saw Shawshank Redemption for the first time. Okay,
You need to see this. You will. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. And I mean, there's 6 episodes in the first season. They're half an hour each.
All right.
Make some time.
All right.
All right. Here is your last question of this trivia day.
Lay it on me, Quiz Daddy.
Vatican City and what other country are the only two countries to have square flags? I will tell you, it is definitely a country you have heard of. All right. This is not like some weird, you know, bullshit in Micronesia or something. This is a country you know. Okay. And I'll go so far as to say it is a country in Europe.
Wow. Well, when I'm thinking of European flags, there's a few that I can't recognize in my mind's eye easily. One would be Portugal. No idea what that looks like. Austria, Belgium, Hungary. I'm pretty sure I've seen all those. And even I can't recall the details. I don't remember them being like square. Portugal. I really can't picture. So.
Portugal the man.
Mm-hmm. The country. Not the band Portugal the man, but the country, Portugal the country.
Man the country.
Names Bond. James...
I don't know why that makes me laugh so fucking hard. Did you hear about the guy who bought hell, the city hell, and changed the name of it to gay hell?
Happy Pride Month. I'll go with Portugal.
The correct answer is Switzerland.
Switzerland, really?
Yep.
Take a look at this bad boy.
Just take a look at it real quick.
You know, I almost said Sweden because they provide the guards, as I now know.
Ooh, that would be That would be neat.
But Switzerland instead. Switzerland flag. Look at the square motherfucker. Red cross.
Yep. There it is. There is that motherfucker. Throw that bad bitch in the show notes. I've
definitely seen this.
You have?
Yep.
I knew it. I knew you had.
But what's Portugal got going on?
How's Portugal look, though?
We have... Yep, this is definitely a 3x4 aspect ratio.
Let me see this.
It's a shield with like a yellow.
Oh, same word. I like that offset colors.
Mm-hmm. It's like Christmas time.
It's a little more red because of the blood that was shed.
My question, speaking of red, got a hockey question for you.
Oh, great.
The event that took place in February of 1980, where several college and amateur hockey players from the United States defeated the favored Soviet team is commonly referred to as what? It's a semifinal match in the 1980 exactly Winter Olympics. A team that came up and they were like, can we write down the name of the event at the Olympics? Is that what you're looking for? Like hockey?
Right.
It's like, no. The common name for this particular event in time.
I need to self-sus here because I think I know the answer. And I don't, I think it's the Miracle on Ice.
I think you're right, Mark.
Okay.
It is. It is the Miracle on Ice, named thus because commentator Al Michaels' reaction, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a very, very big thing. I mean, with the Cold War and, you know, just like, you know, just shit between America and the Soviet Union and the fact that the Soviets, aside from Canada, were like the fucking realest of the real when it came to hockey.
They had won the last four gold ice hockey games. From 1954 to 1980, the Soviets dominated all of that. And Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, was calling for a boycott of the U.S. teams from the Olympics because they were taking place in Moscow. So it was even it was like a game made up of players who just had the heart for a country that barely even wanted to be there. And then they beat the favored team. So
I remember, have you seen the celebration when they win?
Mm-mm.
Spine tingling.
Yeah.
It's chilling. They fucking freak the fuck out.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was the thing about, you know.
I thought they were like going to become one with the ice. Like, we're chilling.
No, they, you know. The thing about the Olympics, especially when there's like so much shit going on with, you know, between countries or whatever, whether it's war or whatever, like, makes, you know, it ups the ante. So when the Americans win, it's like we didn't think there was any way this was going to happen, and they win. They're just like, you know, the fucking Russians look so defeated, and the Americans are just fucking like over the moon. It's really, really awesome. It's really powerful.
We're going to post a clip to that in the show notes. Yeah. We'll hunt down that video and put that in there. But that concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. Mark, thanks for joining me in this fabulous duo episode.
Thank you for having me. What a good time.
If you want to check out some live No Nonsense Trivia, we'll be at Gather on Tuesdays for Ladies Night Trivia in Cape Coral. It starts at 7 p.m. Wednesdays, we're at Bury Me Brewing Company in Fort Myers. That show's starting at 7 p.m. You can catch Mark Davis hosting Trivia Nice Guys Pizza later that evening on Wednesdays.
Hong Kong.
At 9 p.m. Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show's starting at 7:30. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest, by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you, by the way. Big, gigantic, ginormous, humongous thank you to our Patreon supporters.
All those big words.
For helping us out with the show. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud, and Tim from San Diego. Tim. Pat's Garden Service.
Pat's Garden Service.
Thanks to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil.
Big thanks. It's Gil.
Big thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Eric, Efren, Steven, Michael C, Michael J. No beat for you.
Yeah, we gotta get more. Well, we don't want more of them.
Right. You hop up into that next tier if you want that beat under your name.
I get like two beats. And that's it.
But of course, you can all enjoy the bonus content that we have on our Patreon. Check that out. Go to thenono.com, click support to see all that. You can also write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. With No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We have a Facebook group you can join. Just look for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on Facebook. Join us there. Finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. 5 stars only, please.
Guys, look, we need you to rate this shit on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever they call it these days.
We know you're about to go over to Pornhub and type in MILF.
Yeah.
Go instead to Apple Podcasts.
And, you know, and tell just, 2 friends.
Yes.
Maybe you listen to the podcast for a while, you like it.
No. We have a 5 theme going here. 5 stars, 5 friends,
Five
Mark.
Friends, you're right.
5 stars, 5 friends.
You're right, I'm wrong.
All right, until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.